I usually look forward to reading the Gospel of the day first thing in the morning. In so doing, I'm hoping to tap into that reservoir of grace where I have felt God's love and support in the past, before I plunge into the routines and challenges that each new day brings. In recent months, I've become more than ordinarily focused during my morning prayer on seeking that gift of peace which Jesus promised his disciples, the peace that the world cannot give. Unconsciously, I suppose I'm hoping to hear Jesus say to me, "Bill, do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid," as I end my prayer and, over breakfast, take up the morning paper with its latest round of distressing news. In today's gospel meditation, however, I find no such invitation to peace. The hectoring tone that Jesus strikes with the Pharisees and scribes seems to be of a piece with the bluster and bullying that infects so much of our national discourse. Frankly, I found the gospel disturbing. "Woe to you, Pharisees! You pay tithes of mint and of rue and of every garden herb, but you pay no attention to justice and love for God. These you should have done without overlooking the others." Then one of the scholars of the law said to Jesus, "Teacher, by saying this, you are insulting us too." And he said, "Woe to you, teachers of the Torah! You impose on people burdens hard to carry, but you yourselves do not lift a finger to lighten them." Such harsh language seems out of character with the Jesus who, earlier in Luke's gospel, urges us to love our enemies and to act beautifully toward those who hate us, to bless those who curse us, and to pray for those who abuse us. How are ordinary disciples like you and me supposed to make sense of the inconsistency between that earlier, gentler Jesus and the censorious Jesus who appears in today's gospel? As I reflected a little longer on this gospel, something leapt out at me. In that earlier gospel where Jesus encourages us to love our enemies, he seems to be talking about quarrels between people who are already committed disciples, people who are members of the same community of faith. Let's say, for instance, that you, a reasonably serious Christian, have spread some hurtful gossip about me. In my pain, I, another serious disciple, feel no desire to forgive you. In fact, I'd rather cut you out of my life forever. However, when I reluctantly allow Jesus' difficult challenge to pierce my heart, I feel compelled to open myself to reconciliation with you, and even to try to act beautifully toward you. It's not so much to make you feel better as it is that I become a better disciple, one whose heart is shaped more like the heart of Jesus. In today's gospel, however, Jesus was not criticizing the Pharisees because of some personal quarrel he had with them. It's not that they insulted him or humiliated him. He criticizes them because, as leaders within the Jewish community, and as guardians of the Torah, they have distorted God's message, and their distortions have created unbearable burdens for the Jewish faithful. Let me make a brief but important aside here. Because of the undeniable history of anti-Semitism within our Christian churches, it's important to note that Jesus is not condemning the Pharisees as a whole. In fact, among the several factions operating within Judaism in Jesus' day, the Pharisees were, in many ways, the group most similar to Jesus. in today's gospel, Jesus is not criticizing Pharisees in general. He's criticizing these few Pharisees who are in dispute with him. He's criticizing them not because they're Pharisees, but because they are bad Pharisees. And the criticism that Jesus levels at them are ones that other Pharisees had already raised. For instance, both Jesus and those other Jewish leaders criticize these bad Pharisees for their irrational obsession with trivial details. Such preoccupation with minutiae risked undermining the central message of the Torah, namely that God's love for the Jewish people is inexhaustible, and that God ardently desires that they practice justice more strenuously. In today's dispute, Jesus insists that the principal responsibility of those entrusted with leadership is to assure the community over and over again of God's faithful love for them, and then to encourage them to treat each other more fairly and generously. Jesus upbraids these legalistic Pharisees for their exaggeration of tithing even the most trifling herbs in their garden, while at the same time overlooking the purpose of tithing, which is to provide for the needs of the most vulnerable in the community. As the book of Deuteronomy clearly states, "You shall reserve a tenth part of all your grain and all your crops for the aliens living among you, and for the orphans and widows in your towns, that they may come and eat their fill." During that same contentious encounter with the Pharisees, some scribes objected that Jesus was tarring them with the same brush. Undeterred, Jesus rebuked them as well. "Woe to you, teachers of the Torah! You impose on people burdens too heavy to carry, but you yourselves do not lift a finger to lighten them." The scribes, you may remember, were those who dedicated their lives to study of the Torah, praying over it reverently so that it might yield its hidden depths. The scribes were the ones about whom Psalm 119 sings, "Oh, how I love your Torah! I ponder over it day and night." They are the ones who fervently ask God for enlightenment so that they might appreciate the Torah in all its richness. "Uncover my eyes so that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Give me understanding that I may observe it with all my heart." In other words, the scribes were dedicated, holy people. But occasionally, some of them, in their zeal, got carried away. Again, in this gospel, Jesus is not disparaging scribes in general. He's criticizing these few bad scribes because in their study of the Torah, they deduce additional obligations to impose on people, obligations that are not actually in the text of the Torah. For example, in their study of the third commandment, "Remember to keep holy the Sabbath," they enumerated 39 different activities that a person was forbidden to engage in on the Sabbath. The scribes' preoccupation with minutiae and their failure to emphasize God's love and God's desire for greater social justice turn the people's joyful observance of the Torah into something tedious and burdensome. "You heap heavy burdens on people, and you do not lift a finger to lighten them." How very different from Jesus' Torah-inspired invitation, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." A couple of months ago, I came and across an article in Theological Studies entitled "The Grace of Conflict." The title attracted me not in the least. There's too much conflict in the world already. Economic disparities, racial injustice, the denial of full ministry for women in our church. And more often than not, I find this surfeit of conflict overwhelming. I had no desire to accept the article's premise and to search for grace in these conflicts. And yet, as I reflected on the example of Jesus in today's gospel, I was prompted to go back and read the article. More importantly, Jesus' conflict with the Pharisees and scribes impels me today to ask God for the double grace to accept more readily the conflict that does seep into my life, and to have the courage to engage it resolutely whenever I recognize people who struggle with lives of heavy burden, and whenever I become aware of institutions or policies that undermine God's love for all people and God's ardent desire that we practice justice more strenuously. Perhaps you will feel moved to ask God for those same graces. May God bless you and give you health.